always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
I do wonder if, I do wonder if like part of the Knicks' lack of interest is like if they, because again, I don't know like what did or didn't happen in this exclusive negotiating Amazon Prime Giannis deal day window that they were granted. But like if they got a chance to talk to Giannis and like that way they were granted permission for that and they asked him like, so dude, would you sign the extension if we offer it? And he gave them like a 20 minute soliloquy on like friendship and like his commitment to Milwaukee and how like he, you know, he just loves the city of Milwaukee and he would never want to leave. But if you do trade for me, like I'll try my best and whatever. And they were like, okay, yeah, I don't know. Like I don't want to deal with this guy on a daily basis.
I wouldn't blame him. I want to talk about like from the Lakers.
It's steps to success, guys. It's not about the trade today. It's about steps to success.
That was the red flag. I keep going back to that. Like, it does really annoy me. Could you imagine if like LeBron was this kind of corny, or if like, because we get on Harden for asking out of, you know, the situation there with the Clippers and all that stuff. It's like, I think what Giannis is doing is worse. Like, I would much rather a guy just rip off, like, you know, AD gets all the shit that he does for the That's All Folks t-shirt or whatever. But at least people were able to move on, you know.
James Harden has the honesty to just tell you. He's like, yeah, you know, I can get the fat suit out or you could send me where I want to go. It's up to you how you want to play this.
Right. Yeah. From the Lakers standpoint, like, how comfortable are you with no trades last summer? A trade on the peripheries this time. They're doing the spin cycle of like, did you see, Harrison, that there was a tweet that Chris Haynes sent from like 2 years ago that perfectly described what the Lakers are like?
No, I didn't.
Did you see that? It was like Chris Haynes sent the tweet and it was like the Lakers, you know, he's like, sources tell, I think at that time he was at NBA on TNT. It was like sources tell at NBA on TNT. And that's the only signifier that like would, you know, tell you that
separate it from today.
Yeah. But he was like, the Lakers are not making a trade. They are looking ahead to the summer when they have 3 first round picks. And I don't know if he mentioned cap space in that trade or in that tweet, but it was like I literally did a double take when I was looking. I was like, wait, is that from, that seems early because I first saw it on Wednesday. I was like, that's really early for the Lakers to be made. Oh, no, this is from a couple of years ago. This is just so like such a cyclical situation.
This is just what Rob does every year that he doesn't make a deal is he talks about how many picks he'll have this summer.
Right, right. And so like how comfortable are you with this plan of like not really giving it a go this year? When we were told, hey, expiring contracts are more valuable actually at the deadline than they are back at last summer. Like, I don't know.
Which is true.
I'm at the point here.
But which is true, but you have to use them.
Well, it's true, but you have to attach things to
like a 50 is worth more than a 20, but if you don't spend it, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, I don't know. How comfortable are you on like potentially stepping on to this same treadmill this time with Luka, you know, because cynically, I don't know. It just seems like we always talk about how Rob's top priority is remaining employed.
Keep his job, Rob.
Keep his job, Rob. And the way that you keep your job is to continue to sell your owner who wants to continue to employ you on hope down the line. And the way that you keep your job is to not make a deal now that could possibly backfire that she would then have to fire you for if it backfires. And that's what he did for the whole back half of the LeBron AD era. And it feels like what he's doing again here this time.
I am actually completely comfortable because I do not have the same concerns that Mark Walter is going to be as blindly loyal to Rob as Jeannie was at times. And I also think that, like, Rob has not earned that level of benefit of the doubt with Mark Walter. And I, like, they don't have a 20 plus year relationship going back to, you know, when he was Kobe's agent and all this stuff. And, like, you know, where he's been by her side through thick and thin and all of that stuff, like real friendships and relationships that build up. Like, he doesn't have that here. He has to prove himself to this new boss. And I'm actually totally fine with him not making deals. But the thing is if your plan is to get Giannis, then you better get Giannis. Because, and it better work, because if it doesn't, yeah, then it means like your plan kind of sucks. Because if every single time your plan is, well, we're going to get the star, but then if we don't get the star, we're just going to waste another year of everybody's time, then like that's not a plan. That's just like hoping that something good lands in your lap. And I guess every so often, like one of your best friends will lose their mind and like trade you his like his superstar player that he just like keeps texting you. He's like, yeah, he's such a fat loser. You know, but I don't think that's a plan that you can count on either. And so I'm totally fine. But like to me, this is Rob sticking his neck out. I don't think intentionally, but I do think that he is in a way by like saying, hey, have faith. We're going to get something done. Like, I don't want to use our assets now and mess up our cap space. Like, we need to use this cap space. It's like, okay, show me how you use the cap space then.
Would you feel differently if, as part of the transaction, the purchase and sale of the Lakers, Genie maintained power for the next like 3 to 5 years?
Well, so maintain power, yes, but like
the ability or the final decision on whether or not to fire Rob.
Do we think that's in the contract? I kind of doubt it, because
I don't know.
You know, Mark,
I don't know.
My guess is no, that is not in there. That you have final decision making power over all basketball ops. And so, you know, like I do think that there is a point where it's like, okay, like, yeah, like you are the governor of the team and whatever, but I'm the majority stakeholder. And like, I'm the one spending all this money. Like, we need to do something. And so, you know, if you don't want to, like, if you want to stay here, that's fine. But like, Rob needs to bring in help. Rob needs to hire a more robust staff beneath him. Rob needs an advisor on the side, you know, like the Dennis Lindsay to his Nico Harrison. You know, it's like maybe Rob just is the relationships guy and that's what he's good at. And you get the basketball mind to come in and sort of help him out and augment that, the basketball mind that is not Magic Johnson. And like, if Rob doesn't want that, too bad, you know.
That I think is the point to make here, in that I think we're going to find out very soon after the season ends what the situation is between, like, how much power Genie has, how much, like, how safe Rob is, all that stuff. Because I asked about it again today, and the Lakers haven't filled those scouting jobs that, you know, people were fired from. And
cool.
Yeah. And like, now I will give them a little bit of grace. It's kind of difficult to do that over the course of the season. Although I don't think that there is some like severely limited number of NBA scouts who only know like how to look at basketball.
What does Rob Pelinka think the easy parts of his job are? Because all I hear are about the hard parts of how hard it is to be a GM and president of basketball operations. Simultaneously, two jobs. You know, you could have somebody else do one of the jobs. There used to be two people in those jobs.
I think he makes it harder on himself, though, Harrison, because he's a control freak. He does, like, look at the way that his agency operated before.
Yeah.
It was an extremely thin agency, given the amount of money that was going in and out of that building, you know? And so, And this is the thing. I think we're going to know. I'm not going to predict it one way or the other. But I think we will know very early on what this next era is going to look like, or at least the beginning of this next era is going to look like, with Rob holding any kind of power, because he's up against unstoppable force and immovable object, right? Where he is the immovable object, right? He has a particular vision for how he wants to run an organization, and it does not feature big built-out teams with a whole bunch of input, right? That is not how he likes to operate. However, the unstoppable force is Mark Walter and how he likes to run his organizations. That's the incoming force that is going to meet up against this immovable wall. And I think we're going to know very early on in the summer how this is going to go. And I thought, like, given the way that today played out, would maybe lend itself to the notion that status quo might be kind of moving, like continuing on until it like 100% backfires. Right. So if Giannis gets moved in the summer and it isn't to the Lakers, I think that would be the impetus to really, you know, have Rob sit down in an office and be like, hey man, we got to change how we're doing things here. But by that point, it might be too late. You know, how many prime years do we think we actually have with Luka? He just pulled his hamstring again tonight. When the Lakers traded for him, he had a tweaked calf that affected his playoff run. Like, given the way that he treats his body, are we positive that he's going to have even half the prime that Kobe or LeBron had? I don't know.
I am still trying to maintain some hope that stuff is going to continue to get better. You know, like if he is in a different environment and if there are people to hold him accountable. And right now, I don't know if those people are there. Yeah. And so, again, that's something that, you know, it's either going to have to come internally eventually, or it's going to have to come from, you know, a wider organization being built out.
And we'll see if it is, you know.
He is still really young. You know, it's still like, you know, there is still time for him to.
I'm much decide. Less worried about Luka than I am Rob. And
yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I'm not. We've seen guys with Luka's resume just decide, like, at, you know, 27, 28. It's like, okay, I'm never eating pizza again, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, I'm not going to drink during the entire season anymore. I'm going to go vegan. I'm going to do whatever, you know, like whatever it is that works for them.
This year.
And
like,
yeah.
LeBron. We've seen the difference in LeBron over the course of the season after he has cut out drinking, you know. Hell, shit, dude, I'm even drinking less to the extent that I do nowadays. I feel it in my joints. I went and played 18 holes of golf last weekend and was able to wear it, like, because for a while there, because, like, my, you know, I had too much extra weight on my feet and stuff like that, I had to wear, like, a specific kind of shoe that isn't really great for golf, but I've lost enough weight recently that I've been able to go out there and play with actual, like, golf shoes and stuff, and felt great afterward. You know, that stuff, like, you do reach a point in your life where, you know, like, for me, the impetus was kids and Jen and wanting to be here as long as I possibly can. And for some athletes, it's like, I want to extend my prime. I want to see how high up that list I can climb. And I think
want to have to stop missing games with hamstring injuries, you know?
Well, you saw how angry he was tonight.
Yeah.
He's there kicking the scorer's table, you know?
He is a psychotic competitor. I have no doubt that Luka wants to win, like, or anything like that. Like, I do think that eventually there is going to be some light bulb switches where he is going to redevote some of his effort and his competitive fire into these other areas of the game and these other areas of being a star.
And also,
we already saw,
like,
here, he was as active as a leader as he's been in his career, really. And so, like, we are seeing that growth and development from him. And I think that him starting to reach outside of his comfort zone, it's not going to happen overnight. And maybe it will never happen. Maybe he will have soft tissue injuries the rest of his career. Maybe he's just built like that and it has nothing to do with him or his habits. But
I actually think there's a good chance here that it's going to get better. Like, so this was the first year, right? He does the men's fitness, like, photo shoot and all that stuff, and he gets into better shape. And, like, now this upcoming summer is going to be, you know, like, he can kind of build on that momentum. And then the following summer that he can build on that momentum. And, like, Steve Nash is an example of this, where, like, over the course of his career, he actually got better with his conditioning, where, like, he learned new tricks and new dietary and new nutritionary things that you know, really impacted his ability to stay in shape and stay healthy and all these things, because he had a terrible back for a long time. Steve Nash did. So
Dirk learned how to play without ever bending his knees, you know,
ever leaving the floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I'm, if I were to rank, like, things that I was kind of worried about, I am far more worried about organizationally.
Yeah, me too.
If Rob is going to have his feet pressed to the fire on like, no, man, you got to hire a scouting department. You got to not override that scouting department. You got to trust people, because like the nth degree example of the way that Rob kind of runs things is Neil O'Shea. And you talk to people who worked for Neil O'Shea and they hated it. They hated it because it didn't matter how much work you put into your research. It didn't matter how much work you put into your scouting. It did. All that mattered was like Neil would gather all that information, make
and then call Woj and ask what he thought he should do. And then they decide how they were going to like source it out there. And then they would just do it.
But then, but like Neil, like had the ear of Paul Allen, you know, and like, if it didn't work out, he would make an excuse or blame some other person in that Blazers organization. And that person would eat that decision. And Neil would continue on operating the way that he did. And I don't want that to be the Lakers. Like I actually think like if you had, this is going to sound really bad, condescending or whatever about Rob, but like if you had somebody who had an actual basketball ideology or a vision for how to build a roster out, and it was Rob's job to execute that vision, I think he's excellent at that.
Yeah.
And if you know, now I don't think he would accept that kind of a job now that he's had this top job. I think he would probably rather retire than be the go out and, you know, execute this kind of a deal guy. But, like that to me, you know, what's the principle?
Peter Principle.
Unlike Peter Principle. Yeah. I knew there was alliteration in it, but like in the Peter Principle, you can only climb so far, and then you climb one rung too high and you realize, oh, I'm a spot too high. And I feel like, you know, this job that Rob is in right now is one spot too high. That he properly slots into an organization as just the GM, not the president of basketball operations, but just the GM.
Or the president of basketball operations with a GM who has that basketball vision. You know, it's like you need the yin and yang. I actually think like Jeannie sort of had the right idea with the Magic and Rob together thing. She just picked the wrong basketball mind.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's what happened.
She picked like maybe the worst basketball mind she could have possibly picked, but like it was the right idea, you know.
I don't question Magic's basketball mind. I question his work ethic with the Lakers because he was never there.
I think I'm not questioning Magic's basketball IQ. I question his team building acumen.
Yeah, and his work ethic. He was never there. Like, you know. Magic is great if you could throw money at a problem. You can't do that as president of basketball
operations. Yeah, I wonder what Mike Muscala is up to today. Seeing that notification that Zubac just got traded for more first round picks.
First rounders and all right. We don't have any starred comments. We did get a question here that people are gonna be curious about. Omar is asking, Irwin, any idea or rumor on who the Lakers are getting for the buyout? So to the best of my understanding here, and things are kind of fuzzy, there isn't anybody on the buyout market that the Lakers are like falling over themselves to go out and sign. They are
good so far.
What's that?
I guess good so far. I haven't seen anyone that are like, I'm falling all over myself that like I want them to sign. So fair enough.
Well, because like I was nervous when the Cam Thomas thing happened that like the Lakers would be like, move heaven and earth, go get that guy, you know, like, I'm sorry, Ryan. So the way that this works, so that everybody knows, it tells me starred comments and I don't have any. So I'll scroll back up, Ryan, and see if there are starred comments. But anyway, like really quickly to answer this before we move on to the starred comments, the guys that I am interested in, I really want Haywood Highsmith. Now, a lot of teams really like the idea of Haywood Highsmith. He was a good defender for Miami. He's been hurt all year, which is the reason he's available. But he's the guy I would take a flyer on. The Lakers are basically weighing the decision, though, on do you convert Drew Timmy And I thought it was interesting he wasn't in the rotation tonight. So that would indicate to me that probably not happening. Do you convert Drew Timmy or do you waive one of the guys that is on your roster with guaranteed money either for the rest of this year, if not the years moving forward? Dalton Kinect has another year on his contract because it's a team option. The Lakers would be automatically picking up if they waived him. Bronny has another year and another, I think, team option after that.
Come on, they're not waiving Bronny. They're not, as much as they've antagonized LeBron this year,
I'm just listing guys who have like smaller contracts who would otherwise, like in 2K, I would have waived them. Not waiving Adu Thero, right? You know, he's brand new there. One of the benefits of converting Drew Timmy is that you would open up a two-way spot so you could bring Kobe Bufkin into that two-way spot there. So that's another thing that they might be potentially thinking about doing. Personally, though, I would use that roster spot as soon as they possibly can on like a Haywood Highsmith. I think they're also kind of looking around the NBA landscape. Like, does Robert Williams shake loose? Does CJ McCollum shake loose? I think Kentavious Caldwell-Pope has another year on his contract after this one, so I don't think he would. But like, you know, players who are slightly overqualified to be bought out or waived, and the Lakers are kind of, because that's what happened with Spencer Dinwiddie a few years back, where out of nowhere the Raptors kind of waived him, and it was the easiest thing to report in the world. It was like, you guys are right. It's like,
yeah.
Yeah. And I reported right away that the Lakers were interested in Dinwiddie. I think that's basically what they're looking to do now. It's like, we'll be patient. We'll see if anybody becomes available. I don't even think they can pay anybody a prorated minimum quite yet. I think they have to wait a little while still. But we will see who becomes available. And if nobody becomes available, I actually wouldn't be that upset at it being Timmy. I really like Timmy's game in a LeBron Luka team.
Yeah, we're going to find out how much Rob Pelinka's vision has changed and like more about his basketball worldview if they sign Cam Thomas.
If that happens, I would be pretty bummed.
Like, yeah. What if we had Gabe who didn't try on defense?
We do have star comments, so I'm going to play this really quick. Stop watching! All right, so first one here came from the Wannabe GMs podcast. Tell me Rob's going to sign Haywood. Fits like a glove. He's who I'm rooting for, 100%. Even if he's hurt, you're like, okay. Like, the opportunity cost to signing Haywood Highsmith is just non-existent. So, he's who I'm kind of pulling for. We have Chenny Britt saying getting Harrison on a night show is quite the treat. Harrison after dark is quite the sight to behold. Ryan Lucas writing, low-key, wave Ayton if Rob Will is available. They would. The thing there is that you're messing with Luka's agent because he and Ayton share an agent. And I don't know if you want to piss off Bill Duffy by waiving DeAndre Ayton.
Well, the extension's done. So
that's true.
You don't have to negotiate with him about Luka for another couple of years.
But like, Rob Will is a perfect example of the kind of player that the Lakers are just kind of like hoping for, you know, whether it's Rob Will or Matisse Thybulle or, you could kind of like scout out the rest of the
they could waive Xavier. Hayes, couldn't they?
What's that?
They could waive Hayes, couldn't they?
Hayes isn't going anywhere. Luka really likes Hayes. Xavier Tillman is another guy, right? He was just traded for tax purposes, and those guys usually tend to get waived.
Yeah, I don't.
Maybe
I don't think he's going to be in the NBA.
I'm trying to think of other players who were traded for like tax purposes. And that's all that I can kind of think of. But But think of that. Like, does Portland?
Well, they got to tell Bill Duffy, okay, you get to keep Jackson Hayes or you get to keep Aiden. You pick. And then we're signing Rob Williams to the other one. Yeah. You know, like, which one of your bad centers would you like us to keep?
I would love Robert Williams.
If he plays, which, you know, in his history, he doesn't do a whole lot. So
neither does Ayton. So,
yeah.
Let's see.
I can't believe I let him trick me. I went on so many rants this summer and I completely fell for it.
Yeah. I mean, we all did. Like, he was saying all the right things. The Lakers were winning. It happens. He got us. All right. That is okay. So Jay Pizzle, thank you. I'm sorry. It is late. I am on all kinds of allergy drugs and I did not remember this, but the Blazers apparently have to waive two players. So ideally it would be Tybull and Williams. If it's both of them and the Lakers picked up both of those guys, that would make me really happy because people in Portland would be really pissed. But I think the Lakers would probably try to wind up with one of the two that they waive. I'd just be curious who they would, you know. Tybull hasn't been healthy all year, so you kind of run into the same problem that you would with Highsmith. Williams is almost never healthy, but he at least has made an impact on the season at one point.
There's also a lot of like, how much does Tybull care about basketball talk around the league for the last
while? Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't heard that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I'm rooting for Williams. I just think it's good to have three centers on your roster. So
yeah,
whether it's Timmy or Williams, like one of those two guys is
you want to have a backup to the backup in case one of your players fights the Wizards mascot.
If would you waive Maxey for Tybull or Highsmith?
That's cold. I'm not going to say that tonight. That man played the best basketball game he's played in like 5 years. No, I'm not. No, too far.
That's fair. All right, Harrison, I've kept you here way too long. Is there anything you want to plug before we get you out of here?
No, just SB Nation NBA. Silver screen and roll if you're a Lakers fan, you know, all that good stuff.
We do have a little bit of news, right? You are now a weekly contributor here to the Lounge. That's good.
Yeah.
You excited about that?
I mean, not right now because I'm very tired, but
more late nights, you know, like this. I'm 2 hours ahead of you and like 4 years older than you. How can you be like, how can I have more energy than you?
I don't know. How much did you sleep last night?
Not much, dude. I slept with my mouth open.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I guess you're just built different. I'm sorry. I don't know. It's I'm like taller. It's okay. The energy has to go further in my body. Like it's
might have to go wider. We just stretch differently.
Yeah.
All right. On that note, have a great rest of your night, everybody. Make somebody else's. That's going to do it. Pete is not available tomorrow, and I don't think he wants me sharing why. But he did say that because he is missing tomorrow, that we can maybe record an extra episode next week. Pete, Jovan, and I have actually been in touch about recording a Great Western Forum pod next week as well. So keep an eye out for that. So hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. And until the next time you guys hear from me, have a great rest of your weekends. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you on Sunday.
Bye, everyone.